101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler Digi Meech.
What's the word, Jazz?
Yeah, what's the word, Meech? It's Thursday.
It's like a Friday, though.
I was going to say it's Friday. It feels like a Friday.
Yeah, it feels like a Friday today. It's Thursday. You know why it feels like a Friday?
Why?
Because we're going to be on Juneteenth.
That's right.
All day tomorrow.
That's right. It's going down. I'm excited, too. I'm excited. I feel like Milwaukee is one of the top cities throughout the entire country that celebrates Juneteenth still and does it at such a high level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an amazing event, man. Like to see, I love the fact that it's not one-sided where it's just one certain type of thing. You have all types of people from the community, the old schools, the bikes. You know.
I'm more interested in the food.
Me too.
The parade seems like it's going to be ecstatic.
Yes.
But, yeah, the food is pretty much what we look forward to. Some of the African world dancers and stuff that'll be around there.
And Truth Radio will be in the parade as well. Come and catch us tomorrow morning in the Juneteenth parade. We will be riding by, passing out some newspapers and some flyers.
Milwaukee Courier.
You heard? We want to see y'all tomorrow. So it's going to be a dope weekend, man, a super dope weekend. Speaking of events, today, Meech and I, the Tapped In segment, will be officially covering MJ's listening party. Shout out to MJ, E2, Wavy Boy, the whole team. His listening party will take place at Brownstone, 7 p.m. this evening. And I am excited. He has a song called Pretty Woman. So all the ladies need to come out for this show. I'm telling you, it's going to be amazing. It's free to the public. Get there early. I'm telling you, you do not want to miss this event.
No, you don't.
Sunday is Father's Day, Meech.
Yes.
It's going down.
It's going down on Father's Day. You know, it's going to smell like barbecue.
Don Toliver at Summerfest tomorrow. Money back. Yo,
yeah, I thought
at
you
Mr.
was
B
leaving.
Saturday.
You said you was leaving. You weren't going to be here.
No, I'm staying. I'm staying. It's going down too much this weekend. What you got up for the weekend, Meech?
It's Father's Day. I'm chilling, being with the kids.
What you saying? Show day.
I mean, pretty much.
I know that's right.
You know, throw something on there, but on the grill, get it cooking, get it rocking. But basically, just be chilling, man. You know, get that one day. You know, receive all them text messages, respond to all my, my other fellow fathers. That's out here. Talk to my dad.
Yes.
You know, stuff like that.
Shout out to all the beautiful black men who are fathers, stepfathers, role models, real models, all of the above. Happy Father's Day to y'all, for real, for real. Mm-hmm. We got some special guests coming in today. Who we got?
Yeah, we do. We're going to be talking opportunity today with Emmett James.
Okay, that's fine.
Pretty much, we got a well-known videographer, Ray Shotit.
Let's get it.
We'll be talking a lot of things, culture with him, you know, how it looks behind the lens, you know.
Ray Shotit is so dope. He came to one of the youth events. I love his work ethic. I love the quality of his videos, that he actually take time out to try and network and build relationships with people, man.
Yeah, let me give you a fun fact, though.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Taylor, who had him and Ray used to be in a group.
Are you serious? Yeah. I can see that. That's crazy, though. Yeah. I can see that.
They used to be in a rap group.
I feel like our city is super dope when it comes to generations of music and entertainment. Like, for us, it was like Philly Flyboy, Stan Perry.
Mm-hmm.
Then it moved over to the Ray Shotit. Like, we always just have super dope people in every arena.
Yeah.
It just doesn't stop.
The videographer thing on Facebook been kind of kicking up this week, so we're going to talk about that too with him, see how he feel about that. You know, a lot of people have been, well, a lot of artists been pretty much having a lot of backlash with some videographers. They done drug Ray into it, so we're going to see.
Oh, yeah, I saw that post the other day.
Yeah.
Somebody talking about somebody. No refunds or whatever.
Yeah.
4 to 6 weeks, no turn, like, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
4 to 6 week turnaround?
I mean, you know.
I think it was, it said 2 to 3 week turnaround, but it's been 6 weeks and they haven't done the video.
2 to 3 weeks is a lot, though.
I mean, you should expect your video should be two to three weeks.
Maybe I'm just spoiled. Shout out to Von Harris. Von was my videographer in Philly. I never waited more than 3 days.
I mean, that's almost like a rush, you know. And it depends on who you dealing with, what type of relationship you got with the videographer, but
right
for
now
the standard is
2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, you should expect it to be, because you know it's not that many high level videographers here. So if you're dealing with somebody that's dealing with a lot of clients,
you gotta wait.
Yeah, you should expect the day after your video.
See, I don't
two
like
to three
the
weeks.
Wait.
I mean, that's why you ain't rapping.
That is why I'm rapping. That's one of the reasons, because when I want what I want when I want it, and that's just gonna be that.
Yeah.
You feel me? So you said we talking opportunity today, right?
So the opportunity what's the opportunities out here?
Like in Milwaukee or just overall? And what like we talking jobs, relationships,
yeah, opportunities in general. What's the opportunity? Like, do you have the right opportunity? The opportunities you get, is they for you? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Is you taking those opportunities, or is pretty much the city or things in around us, is people shaping the opportunities that you could grasp?
Yeah. Well, me personally, I feel like I was never given an opportunity, but majority of the opportunities that has come specifically from Milwaukee has been because people didn't listen to things that I said or the vision in the beginning, and they are in desperate need of my assistance, not because they genuinely believe that I deserve it. I've had to go on outside of the city, you know what I'm saying?
For better opportunities.
And then I always end up bringing them back, the resources back, right? But I'm not going to say that there aren't opportunities here, but there's biases. Mm-hmm. You know, there's opportunities for specific types of people. Me personally, I am not a woman who was spoon-fed with the silver spoon. I didn't have anything given to me. I didn't take the orthodox way where I was in a sorority. None of that stuff.
Yeah.
Everything I have, I literally had to get it out the mud on my own.
Like create the opportunity.
Create the opportunities, right. But for the generation under us, I do feel like there is more opportunities than it was when we were their age.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's more, but...
is they taking those opportunities?
No. Some are. I don't think some... I think for those who aren't, I think it's a matter of, not that there aren't opportunities, but it's taking so long, you know. And sometimes every opportunity isn't like for you, you know. It may not be a good thing, because some things comes with, it's attached to some strings.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they recognize that. Right. And they are more free, more independent, more entrepreneur style. They don't want to be controlled. So some of the opportunities that are there, if they come with too many stipulations, then I think for that percentage that don't necessarily take those opportunities, that's why.
But it's like, you know, the opportunity that's out there, is it the same opportunities we wanted versus is it the opportunities they need?
I don't think they ever give us what we want. I and the reason why I say that is because it could be packaged up as if it's something we want, but what's under the wrapper is everything that they need, you know? And if they do, which is very often, give us an opportunity that we want, again, there's stipulations, there's strings attached to it that solely benefits them.
I mean, but if you choose the right opportunity, obviously it'd be probably the one you want, but it's opportunities that you just might have to take order to get to... Or reach the goal that you want.
That's what I was going to say, because I don't even think it's a matter of, like, if there's opportunities. I think it's a matter of what you just said. Do people want the opportunities? Because a lot of times when certain opportunities are presented, you may think you want it. You really don't. You're just acting out of survivor mode. Yeah. You're doing whatever it takes to get to where you need to get to.
That's what I was saying. Like, is the opportunities outdated?
Yes. Yep. They come with too many limitations. It's like, I mean, the city is progressing for sure, but we're still behind.
Mm-hmm.
culture-wise, we're still scared to fully embrace what's happening because they are so used to dealing with or presenting opportunities for the other Milwaukee.
Yeah, because it's like if you put this opportunity in front of you, this opportunity in front of you, this opportunity in front of you, and some retrospect, is it an opportunity or is it a force? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. is it a, you know, we only have these available. You got to take it or leave it unless you don't get the opportunity mm-hmm. to go to the next level in a sense or reach your goal.
That's what I'm saying. Sometimes it comes packaged as an opportunity, but it's really a motive. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Really. Like, I don't.
So what's the opportunity then?
It depends. I mean, that's a loaded question. It's broad. So that's what I'm saying. It depends on if we're talking career, relationships, if we're talking, what are we talking?
Mm-hmm. Let's figure it out. Like, what we talking? We talking opportunity, Truth Nation.
We want to hear from you. 833-212-1017. We got to go to break. Do not touch that dial. Tap in with Jazzy and Meech, 101.7 The Truth. The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. Do not miss 101.7 The Truth, broadcasting live from Milwaukee's Juneteenth celebration. Join us tomorrow. Community conversations, interviews with community leaders, and more. Thanks to Educators Credit Union, Molson Coors, Tayback Law, American Family Insurance, and Milwaukee College Prep for supporting their special community event. We'll see you at the Juneteenth Festival as we celebrate freedom, culture, education, and community together. I am excited, man. It's going down. Mm-hmm. It's going down tomorrow, man. We got the Howard Fuller High School Cheer Team. We got the Brewers. We got 101.7 The Truth. Otto Woman Cox, District 6. There's so many people who are going to be a part of this amazing parade.
Mm-hmm. And it's always good to see, like, the kids.
Yes.
That won the honors.
The pageant.
Yeah.
Shout out to all the pageant finalists for Mrs. and Mr. Juneteenth.
Yeah.
That's so dope. So, today we are talking opportunity, Meech.
Yeah. Is opportunity real?
Ooh.
I mean, that's basically where we kind of broke down in the first segment. Is it what it pretty much mm-hmm. the perception of it is? You know what I mean? Is they actually give you the opportunity to do this, or they just pretty much kind of forcing the way?
Shout out to the chat. So the Lazy Gang said, I believe it's also situational. To that point, I believe it's situational. I would say is the opportunity genuine?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's real, but is it genuine? Because, again, every opportunity isn't for you. You can't take every opportunity. You know what I mean? You just have to go based on what your standards are and your boundaries are. If it allows, for me personally, before, like, and the reason why I work this way now is because I used to feel like whatever opportunity came my way was from God. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, whatever it is, it is for me, good or bad, is going to help me get to where I need to go to. And then I started learning that I can't take every opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I have to sit back and figure out, just like when you go to a corporate job and they put you through orientation, they go over their company's core values and all of these things, right? It should apply to you as well. Does my core values align with this opportunity? Yeah. Does what I stand for, what I believe in, my morals, my integrity, does it align? If it does not align, I don't care what it looks like how it's made up, but if it doesn't align, then I cannot take this opportunity.
Yeah. So how many opportunities you think you left on the table? Take a deep breath.
I'm going to be truthful. Not a lot.
Mm. Why not?
Not a lot. Because I've never been afraid to make a sacrifice or to take risk. You know, whether I had it, whether I was up or down, I've never been afraid to. I didn't know if it was going to work. I didn't know what was to come of it, but I've just never been afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also very good with discernment.
Yeah.
If something feels off, I don't touch it. You know what I'm saying? No matter how bad I want it. So opportunities that have come my way that I necessarily didn't take, the few that did, I would say it was more so, I was younger and it was more so due to me being immature in my attitude. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that was just a few opportunities, because every opportunity that has come my way, I have been successful in.
So do you think the youth these days is leaving their opportunities that's being created for them on the table?
I don't necessarily think. I think some, yes. But for others, I think it's more so us having to prove to them why they should take the opportunity.
Yeah, but that's why I said, is it the opportunities we want them to have? Does that even make sense for what's going on in their world?
I think it should be opportunities that they want to have.
Yeah.
Because, again, they're not going to be youth forever, right? They have to go through life with the decision that someone else made for them, just like all of us, right? Mm-hmm. We always have to go through life with decisions that other people make for us.
Yeah.
So I think when we're presenting or creating opportunities, like, and not, because I'm going to be honest, right? We have this thing in Milwaukee where, oh, let's bring the youth to the table. Well, it's the youth who decide everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
they're curving youth.
Yeah, they curving the decisions we making based on their actions, in a sense.
But the youth who are making decisions aren't necessarily the youth that we're catering to.
Yeah.
That's where the miscommunication comes mm-hmm. in at, right?
Yeah, we had a talk last night with Vaughn, and we pretty much got into that. And we were saying, you know, he said the high peak hours is like 12 a.m. to 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So you doing programming before that, it ends at 10.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How does that kind of align with the opportunity, or just how did that align with making it safer for them to be out here? You know what I'm saying?
To be honest with you, it doesn't, because there's a reason why we do the lock-ins the way we do them. And it's not just because of what we think, but we actually have data
mm-hmm.
from when we first started doing it that shows that during this time, when we keep them from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m., in this specific area, this demographic, this age group, the crime decreases because they're in our care.
See, so that's given an opportunity to be somewhere at the time where they want to be somewhere.
Facts.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that should be available. But like you said, like if when they at the table, or if we bringing them to the table, where do they want to go? Why are they out here? Is they really looking at what the adults is doing at 12 o'clock? Because that's the time everybody step out as an adult. You know what I mean? So that is they trying to recreate that feeling for themselves? Like, oh, well, they doing it. If that's what, you know, they looking at.
I mean, honestly, Meech, we did it. Like, we was out here at 12, 1 in the morning in traffic, riding all up mm-hmm. and down 27 in Capitol. You know what I'm saying? Or we was at house parties.
Busting donuts.
We was at house parties. We were in the neighborhood. Like, we was outside, too, at the same time.
And that made me think about the caller the other day. He said, like, you got to literally think about how you was at that age.
Yes.
And I always think like that.
Yeah.
Like, when I told you, when I look at my son, I remember being his age.
Yeah.
To be able to relate with him.
Yep.
At what he might be feeling or going through at the time. So, just trying to create the opportunity for the kids be difficult, but it literally is like we controlling
mm-hmm.
what their opportunities are.
And to that point, I mean, obviously as a parent, you know, you have to have some type of say-so when it comes to opportunities. You have to screen it. But for me, I think what we need to do more of is, what is it that y'all want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And then let's figure out how we can support it. So to that point, for example, when Kalea was up here a couple of weeks ago, and me and you were talking about organized team mm-hmm. takeover, right? What does that look like? That looks like hiring the youth to be an event planner, an event manager, you know what I'm saying, security, giving them roles and responsibilities mm-hmm. so that they can have full control. And all we do is offer guidance and assistance and say, Well, based off of my experience at this age, it will work better if you do it this way. But if you want to do it that way, go ahead. I'll be here to support.
It's almost like the idea when schools let them skip and they kind of organize the senior skip day.
Right.
With the students and the staff.
Right.
They organize that.
Yes.
You know, it'd be sometimes where they might have another location or something, but that's because they want the privacy in a sense. You know what I mean? They want to be able to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
It's nothing wrong with that, but it's still letting them know, like, yeah, you could do whatever you want to do except this.
I don't think we need to teach them not to be out and not have fun. I think we need to teach them how not to die. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay. We understand you want to have fun. Do you remember when we were younger, we had, like I said, we had the clubs, Amistad, H2O. Mm-hmm. We was in traffic. You know, think about how many of us was at these events, especially traffic, in cars, late. Mm-hmm. No issues. No fights, no nothing, right? We have to teach them how not to die, how to enjoy, like literally enjoy what it is that they're trying to do.
Yeah, and I mean, we didn't see the city or let's say the neighborhood get involved until we did traffic. Everything else was like
facts.
Depending on the business owner that we was, you know, whoever had the club, mm-hmm. I don't remember nothing too bad happening at Amistad or nothing like that. Like, no shootouts or nothing like that. I don't, you know, y'all can fact check me. But,
no, there never was. You
know, but I don't, you know, to significant like that to remember, you know what I mean? Especially how often we was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then to for everybody to really reminisce about that, it has to be not have issue like that.
Yeah.
Just based on the stories, you'll see people on Facebook talking about, oh, how you went to Amistad, or just the dance culture when they bring it up. So, I mean, like, we had that opportunity to have fun late at night.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I mean, that's what, think about it. Like, the other night over the weekend when it was, like, super nice outside at night, I was just sitting in my backyard like, I miss this. When you could sit on the porch at 1 or 2 in the morning, door open, like just sitting talking all night, you know, or in the car, ride. I used to love to ride around the city, ride past the lake late at night, listening to music, you know, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, it's not normal anymore.
Yeah, I mean, just because we're in an older generation, I could literally point to like a few times to where I'd be like, I know what's going on at the club or the situations that you see happen at the club. It's not our generation.
Yeah,
you know, because when we step out with our generation, it seems like we've been there before. We've been to the club. We had them experiences young, and we know how to conduct ourselves. But then you'll see somebody that's in a younger generation, or you can see a crowd of people, and you could kind of identify them as a younger generation and be like, well, did they have the opportunity to know how the club scene really
supposed
to go?
They don't, but they have the opportunity to make monies that they teacher make. They have the opportunities to live the life of an adult. They have those opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't.
So they're chasing that, and they don't care about the opportunities that we're presenting because they are already making it happen for themselves the way that they want to, whether it's right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when I look at a lot of the youth out here, they grown. They got money. They got money. They dress like adults. They live an adult's life.
Mm-hmm.
Half of them be, you know, in high school with their own house or staying with a 22, 23-year-old. They got their own crib. You know, they just live like adults.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't, it's the mentality of like, I don't need nothing from you. Nobody was there for me anyways. I'm going to create my own opportunities.
Mm-hmm. But is they able to create their own opportunities?
I think they are. I think they just have to. It's how they do it and it's what they're doing.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, us as adults, in this space, like, I feel like we holding position of them creating opportunities. Because it's like, we're dictating the opportunities they get.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So
I agree.
Where it's like, I don't even know what it looked like for a teen to create an opportunity. I haven't seen, you know, for them to create their own opportunity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's just something that's been on my mind.
And it's like, by the time we get something that's already accounted for, this is what we want to do. Based off of what?
Yeah.
Who told y'all that this needs to be done?
Funds already allocated towards this.
Who told y'all that these are the opportunities that the youth want?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. I'm sure they didn't tell you. And if they did, it's only to select a few.
Because we're going to be at Juneteenth. Do you feel like they got the opportunity to be down there?
Yes.
Do you think they're going to take the opportunity to be down there?
No. I don't.
So you feel
I don't know who they is, but.
The youth. The youth. We're talking about the youth. You feel like they're going to take the opportunity to be down there after a couple of years of people saying they don't want them down there?
It could go one or two ways. They could either not come or they can take it over.
That or why everybody down there? They take the opportunity to go somewhere else.
Facts. That's why I say they can either not be there or they can take it over.
Yeah. But
it's going to be one of the other. Me personally, I'm not even going to say that. We got to go to break. We want to hear from you. We are talking opportunity 833-212-1017. Do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler Digi Meach. We are live and direct at the American Family Insurance Studio in the beautiful city, downtown Milwaukee.
What's the word, Truth Nation?
American Family Insurance is a proud sponsor of The Truth. Since 1927, they've been committed to helping families protect what matters most with the right home and auto coverage built around your real life. Because you've been worked hard to build something, you want protection that works just as hard for you. That peace of mind means you are free to focus on your goals, your family, and the dreams you are chasing. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. American Family Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway in Madison, Wisconsin. Meach, what are we talking today?
We talking opportunities, but you just mentioned it to me over the break.
Don't start, Meach.
That is Friday.
Yes.
And we should be talking about the opportunity. Okay, I'm going to switch it from just strictly opportunity, us being abroad, to kind of scaling it down a little bit.
Okay.
We're gonna go opportunity for opportunity. So we're gonna start with opportunity you have in dating.
Uh-huh.
What's the opportunities or people, you know, we're talking people in a sense. Like, how many opportunities you think you got out here?
Oh, that's what you really gonna ask me, Meach. You know what? Bro.
No, I mean, like, so, I mean, what does a real dating opportunity look for you? Look like for you? And would you take the opportunity if it arises?
So.
You know, you just said you don't leave nothing on the table.
Nothing but my plate, you dig? As far as dating goes, I'll say this. Opportunity with dating, you have the opportunity to build something incredible, mm-hmm. right? If you select the right person, you have the opportunity to build a legacy, a family, a business, you know, unconditional love. Like, there's so much that comes with opportunity. You also have the opportunity not to play in people's face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's, it just depends on what you're dealing with and who you're dealing with. But for me personally, you know, I'm okay with the opportunity that I have right now.
Mm-hmm. Opportunity to say no.
I'm okay with the opportunity I have right now as far as saying no, but also saying yes.
Okay. Options. Optional.
No, there is no, like, there's always options, but when a certain opportunity is presented to you, and again, you grow through the process like a career or anything mm-hmm. else, does it align with my morals? Does it align with my integrity? Is it a safe space? Is it something that I can depend on? Is it something that's reliable? You know, can he lead? Is he a man?
Yeah.
Do we got his stuff together? Can he teach me something?
And I think men have the same aspirations about women. But do you feel like just because, okay, I open opportunity for somebody to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody had the opportunity to talk to you, would you open the opportunity for them, you know, for you to talk to them?
Yes.
Sometimes you don't even want to say it.
No, like, so you have to make opportunity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have to thoroughly take time and I'm learning this, or I have learned this. You have to take time, sit back, and really put effort into the situation, learning and understanding what you're dealing with before you even present the opportunity. I think nowadays we are, and I'm guilty of it too, is like you just present the opportunity right away. Like, this is what I, you know, no, you don't even know if it's what you want. Just sit back a little bit and see if this is the right opportunity for you. And then you present the opportunity.
Yeah. Do people, do you think people open up to people like that?
The right people will. You will know it. You will know. Like,
you think so?
Yeah, I know. I know.
Okay.
I know so. The right people will open up, it because 9 times out of 10, they're waiting. They're waiting for you to present the opportunity.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Whether it's good or bad, they're still waiting as far as their intentions. They're still waiting. So, again, I've learned to, you know what, if this is something I feel like works for me, like not what I like, not just what I like, but like, what I need.
Yeah, but everybody not taking it that way. Everybody looking like, some people take the opportunity for a come up.
Absolutely. Or to stroke their ego. Or to, yeah, absolutely. Especially in the line of work we do. It's a lot of those. Mm-hmm. Men too. You know, it's a lot of those. But for me, I'm in a space now where I feel like a certain opportunity, when it presents itself and you don't have to question it, that's the opportunity for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the opportunity for me.
So let's talk about the opportunity when you you had the opportunity to get married.
I did. Yep.
Yeah. How did that feel?
Honestly, I don't know.
You wasn't excited?
It's not that. I was so young. Yeah. I got married at 25. So
it didn't feel like an opportunity. It just felt like that's what you're supposed to do.
Exactly. Like, it felt as if I'm doing the right thing for my children, right? It felt as if this is something that I've seen in my family. And I believe that this opportunity can produce opportunities for my children, right? Excited, yes, but I didn't fully understand it. What I will say is, because I had the opportunity of being married before, it prepares me for the next opportunity of being married. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The skill sets that I've learned from being a wife versus being a girlfriend is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to love a man properly and what he needs is different as far as my outlook. Whether I'm single or not, these are things that happen because I had the opportunity of being someone's wife.
Yeah.
Right? So, again, opportunity is important on every level. Personal, career, relationship.
Yeah. Did he present the opportunity correct?
He did. And again, we were young. I just feel like, if I could do it all over again, as far as not just with this specific person, but just with marriage in general, I wouldn't get married that young. Because in your 20s, you're still trying to figure out who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And you still are trying to heal through whatever you've been through.
It's hard to tell or teach somebody about you when you're still learning yourself.
Yeah. But what I do appreciate is that I've learned so much from being someone's wife. That my next husband is ride or die forever.
Oh, he ain't gonna have the opportunity to leave this time.
Oh no, he ain't gone. It's a wrap. Once you win, you win. Ain't no out.
Truth
I'm
Nation.
Never letting him go. We gotta go to break.
Come on, Truth Nation.
Tap in. Do not touch that dial. We want to hear from you. 833-212-1017. 101.7 in Truth.
Okay, I'm straight from the north side. Thought I won't respond well.
101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler Digi Meech. We are live and direct. Shout out to everyone listening. Make sure you tap in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Do not forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Shout out to the chat. Shout out to my D. Madi said he didn't deserve that young pie. You have to be raised to be a wife or a husband. It's a big step, high risk. He also said be a good friend to your future mate first. Very important. Meet their pastor, friends, family multiple times, and you will learn a lot. Amen. That's the truth. Meech, we got a special guest in the building.
Yeah.
Who we got?
Famous rapper Emmett James.
Let's go. Welcome to Tap In.
I don't know about famous, but I appreciate it.
Locally famous to me.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right.
Are you mean it or are you just?
No, I'm doing all right. That's a good question, though. I know people say stuff in passing that they don't mean, but.
Absolutely.
I'm solid.
Thank you for joining us today. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So we talking opportunity today, man. So let us know how you've been doing it and what you got going on first.
I'm doing good. I'm doing solid. Can't complain. This summer for me is very busy. If you a musician or artist in Milwaukee, you know the summertime is where you like eat.
Yeah.
Street festivals and all that type of stuff. So I got a lot of that going on. I've played a lot of them already. Local mm-hmm. Street Festival. I did Morgan Park Picnic. I did Pride Fest. Tomorrow is Summerfest at T-Mobile Stage. I end my summer with an event that I produced myself with a friend. It's called the Emmett James Big Band Barbecue. Mm-hmm. I play with a 20-piece band.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's a fundraiser concert, so every year we pick an org to partner with, raise money for them, stuff like that.
Yeah, how long that's been going?
This is the fourth one and the last one, probably. Yeah.
Why the last?
I think I'm moving next summer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You moving again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I was in LA for like 8 years. I just came back 3 years ago.
You going back?
I want to go to Brooklyn first. Because I've always wanted to be in New York. If I like it, extend it. But it's like something I'm doing on my way back to LA.
Yeah. Going back to Cali.
Yeah. So how the music been going?
Music is good. So here's the thing. I'll try to make this short. So I was doing music full time as an independent artist up until last year. I almost got evicted for being a rapper. Not like discrimination wise, just me being stubborn and not getting a job. And I was like, you know what, Em, it's time for you to work. So I'm a barista. So I work at like 5 coffee shops. So that's what I do. What did you ask me? I went there for a reason. What did you ask me?
I said, how the music been going?
Oh, the music is going good. So when people talk about music, I just work so much and then I kind of like just fit in music where I can, but I'm so dedicated to it. Online, it might look like I still do it for a living, but or like 100%, but work, I'm just working and then fitting in music where I can.
Yeah. So you say you went to LA for 8 years and came back 3. So, but you from Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, born and raised on the north side.
On the north side. So, what neighborhood?
In high school, I was on off of 18th and Hampton. Before that, I was on 45th and Wright, like right around the corner from Washington High School. My dad lives off of 27th and Capitol.
Yeah.
But I live in Shorewood.
We was waiting on it.
You say you live in Shorewood.
I've been there for like a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if somebody from Milwaukee hasn't seen you in 10 years, what would surprise them the most about you?
I gained a lot of weight.
Really?
I used to be like tiny, like a pencil. Shout out to people who are shaped like a pencil. a lot of weight. But everything else is the same.
Yeah.
I'm still like vibrant. I'm still into music and coffee. I'm still chasing my dream because that's important. And I still ain't married and I still ain't got no kids.
Yeah.
It's the same. Yeah.
We got Emmett James in the building, man. We talking opportunity. And what opportunities exist in Milwaukee right now that artists and creators are overlooking?
This might be corny or generic. The opportunities that you could create for yourself. I think a lot of times, even right now, there's some discourse online about like people not getting booked for stuff. And I'm kind of one of the artists. If you outside looking in, I could see how you could be like, I ain't playing everything. Yeah. And I get it because I felt that way before too. But I've also like created a lot of opportunities for myself. So when I was in LA, and I'm using that as an example, but it could be used as a parallel. When I first got out there, I played one showcase, and it was like a pay-to-play thing, and I didn't like how it went. And then from there, I started throwing my own backyard shows.
Yeah.
And then that turned into opportunity. So it's the same thing. that I have done here and that people can do here. Like, you got an album coming out, EP, whatever, book your own show. There's a gallery on the Walker's Point called Var Gallery. They charge $50 to rent the space.
Yeah.
Bring a band, bring your own crew, whatever. It's primarily an art gallery, but secondarily, they don't want to overcharge musicians and artists. So they're just like, yo, use the space how you want to use it. Be respectful, but it's $50 to rent it.
Mm-hmm. So you think it's just a lack of information?
No, I do think that there's some opportunities that sometimes we get overlooked on. Like when the Bucks won the thing, the person who came up with the song was not from here.
Yeah.
And shout out to that person. Like, I think sometimes the bigger corporations do miss the mark a little bit. It's like, dang, like we could have. But as a DIYer, yeah, if you don't like something, create opportunity for yourself. If you can't get a residency at a venue that you like and they got a program, create your own. That's just kind of where I'm at with it.
One of the things I want to touch on that you mentioned was the rhetoric about not being booked for certain events, right? And why certain people are the only ones who get these opportunities. One of the things that people have to understand too is that if you get an opportunity and you make it successful, they will always call you back. That's the point of making sure that when you take the opportunity that you do what it is that you need to do. So it's not a matter of people are constantly being left out, but if it's not broke, don't fix it. If I book you and you do a great job, why do I need to book someone else when I can just book you?
Yeah.
That's the reality.
Yeah. So I mean, but is the opportunities aligning with the culture?
I think they do. We just got done. Oh, it was off air. We was talking about Summerfest. We was talking about shout out to Ashelle and MK Groove.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We was talking about that.
Yeah, and she set up a whole, like, you want to play Summerfest? Then join this competition. And now there's a bunch of people. Some people didn't make it. Some people did. I got some friends who are playing Summerfest that way this year. And, like, she's giving them an opportunity to play. And you get to play with a live band that you won't got to pay out of your pocket.
Yeah, but
I
got to
pay my
band
out of my pocket.
But some people not taking the opportunity they feel like their music don't fit the live band or their music don't fit what Summerfest offering. But they want to be on the stage.
Listen, first of all, if Jeezy can do a whole orchestra to Thug Motivation 101, I don't want to hear that you can't take your music and put it with. Music is music.
I mean, Boosie just showed up with the trap orchestra.
I missed that.
Music is music. I think it's more so a lack of confidence. I think because they aren't used to playing with live bands and they're afraid. Mm. I don't necessarily think it's because they feel like their music don't fit.
Yeah. So what you think the biggest thing standing between Milwaukee talent and the next level?
I think when we're talking about stuff that's truly impactful, I think that's always going to be on a, like, corporate organizational level. Like, if I'm the Milwaukee owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, who I don't know what it is, I'm speaking ignorantly, but just using them as an example. If I'm the owner of the Milwaukee Bucks and I have an opportunity to change some, like, an artist's lives here, like, it's people like that who could move and that stuff like that. And I think that it's, like, giving Milwaukee artists opportunity to do that. But where we meet them, not meet them in the middle, but again, on our own individual level, we just have to keep doing our own thing.
Because that's what I'm saying. Like, it seemed like most Milwaukee artists is kind of dependent on the corporation to kind of, or the organization to be like pushing the initiative that they trying to, you know, you rap. So we throwing these events for you to rap. No, that ain't what's going on.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think they just want love. Like, when you look at other cities and states and you're looking at their teams and different things, they are including the artists from their city.
Yeah.
But it's also, too, about relationships, not just from the artist stance. I feel like a lot of these major corporations don't take the time to really learn the community. Sometimes they do it because they have to. We have to do a fundraiser. We have to show up. But, like, if you actually learn your community and don't take advantage of them, then you'll be able to build these relationships and you'll be able to utilize what's in the city versus going versus outsourcing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think, so that's that answer. I think organizations, corporations should do that. But if I'm a person who cares about those opportunities and I'm upset that I'm not getting them, then I'm going where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to the galas. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're going galas. Yeah. They're doing art exhibits. And, like, if I really care about those opportunities, then I'm going to go meet those people where they are.
Yeah, so
show my face.
Because you mentioned about the opportunity in Los Angeles, and that kind of made pissed you off to where it's like, okay, I'm going to go create my own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I played a show. I was the only artist there with a band. They had a second round called the Encore Round, and we didn't make it to the Encore Round, even though we were the only act that got a real encore from the audience. Mm. And from there, I was just like, you know what? If I'm going to lose money, I'm going to lose it throwing my own events.
Yeah.
So. Facts. Yeah. As a person who has done events, there's nothing more satisfying than dictating what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I get to do it my way, and if I fail, I'm the only person to blame.
Yeah. So, was you kind of like in the when you was in the transition, creating your own opportunities, did you still look back like for other opportunities, or you just stuck to creating your own?
No, I did a lot of my own shows, but I also just tried to be in the building. Like, I was, I'll make this quick. I was working at Golden Voice. Y'all know what Golden Voice is? It's the company that produces Coachella. So I make coffee in their corporate offices. So just being in the places where I need to be to connect with the right people.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We got to go to break. We got Emmett James in the building. We want to hear from you. 833-212-1017. Do not touch that dial. Jazzy and Meech, 101.7 The Truth.